This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Third and goal. Allen looking around, fires, caught in, touchdown, George Kittle.
Now back to overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett, with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
Yeah, that was a fun moment in this football game. Maybe one of the few fun moments the Niners had as they lose 38-10 to the Green Bay Packers. It was a George Kittle 3-yard touchdown catch from Brandon Allen. It capped an 11-play, 65-yard drive. It got the Niners within 10. That was at the very end of the first half. The Packers, though, should have found a way to score right after that, because Jordan Love hit Christian Watson in the hands for what would have been a walk-in long touchdown, but he dropped it. But the Niners got back within 10, had the ball twice, down by that same score in the third quarter, but could not score either time. They ultimately lose 38-10. The call you just heard, courtesy of Fox, Kevin Burkhart, Tom Brady on the call, doing a good job as always, but the Niners lose 38-10. They're now 5-6 on the season, still, though, somehow only a game out of the first spot in the NFC West, because the Cardinals, they put up a stinker in Seattle. The Seahawks defend home field, and they knock off the Arizona Cardinals. The Rams right now on Sunday Night Football in a battle late first half. It's 7-6 in favor of the Rams. The Eagles, though, second and goal as we speak right now. What's up?
Not looking good for the Niners on that Saquon Barkley rushing total.
Oh, yeah. What is he at now? Is he already over?
Nah, he's at 73.
Yeah, not great. I mean, Saquon's been amazing this year.
Unbelievable, dude. They just put a stat up that in his time with the Giants, he averaged 1.4 yards before contact. And this year, he's at 2.6.
Wow. It's almost doubling.
Unreal, dude. Unreal. The Eagles are good. The Eagles are really, really good in the NFC.
They are. They are very, very good. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because we spend so much time talking about...
Another guy got walloped on the
side. A.J. Brown dropped it. They spend so much time... We spend so much time talking about how maybe running backs not, like, terribly important across the NFL. Like, there's kind of become a reckoning, like, you don't need to pay running backs anymore. Saquon Barkley, great things with the Eagles. Derrick Henry turning that Ravens offense into, like, the best offense in the NFL. Joe Mixon is having himself a hell of a season with the Texans. And
Tony Pollard in Tennessee.
Yeah, Tony Pollard in Tennessee. Aaron Jones hasn't really been that healthy, but when he's been healthy, he's been very effective for the Vikings. Like, you got a lot of veteran running backs who kind of were cast off by all of their respective teams, and they're the reason why a lot of those teams have kind of turned it around.
I think if you're plugging a player into a good system or a good foundation, it works.
Yeah.
But I think if you're a team picking in the top five, a running back isn't going to save your franchise. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
But Ashton Jenty, Boise State, who knows?
That's a good example. I don't think Jacksonville stinks. Like, I don't think they're as bad as their record. If they drafted Ashton Jenty at what, fourth or fifth, I wouldn't hate it. It wouldn't be the worst thing.
Yeah.
And that defense still stinks. Yeah. Can't stop anybody. You can probably score with everybody at that point.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
You know how you're talking about the Niners rooting for Saquon's under yardage to hit?
Yeah.
Niners rooting for that Ashton Jenty Heisman ticket. Someone's got a future for Jenty to win the Heisman.
Oh, yeah.
And that guy would be this guy. So, come on. Get it done. Get it done, Boise. Get it done, Ash and Genty. Anyways, we're off topic. We got 20-ish more minutes with you here on Overtime on 95.7. The game as the Niners fall to the Packers 38-10 today in Green Bay. Let's hear from Kyle Shanahan. We will also give out game balls to close things out. As always, this is going to be really difficult to hand out game balls for this game. That's how bad it was and how barren it was for the 49ers. We will do that coming up in a little bit. But first, Kyle Shanahan speaking post-game in Green Bay after the Niners 38-10 loss to the Green Bay Packers. Here it is, Niners head coach Kyle Shanahan.
All three led to touchdowns, so 21 points. You top that with the penalties and stuff, and that's how you get embarrassed like that. The first one, they had 12 personnel, two tight ends in the huddle, which means we have base defense out. They sent another receiver on the field to sub, which when they sub, they're supposed to allow us to sub. So as soon as they did that, we started to change our personnel, and then they rushed up to the line and snapped it. It was a strategic play by them, but one that I don't feel should have been allowed. They didn't give us time to sub on that, and that's why I was upset on that. And then the next one, because they got away with the first one, they tried to do it again the next play, and that's when I went out there arguing again. This time they did allow us to sub. I was out there screaming the whole time, so I'm not exactly aware of what happened with our 12 guys, but obviously we had 12 guys out there. They gave us time to sub, and we didn't get one off. So the second one was on us. When you play a first half like that, you know, we got to be on in the second half. And I loved how we came out on that kick return. I thought that was going to give us some huge momentum. Got called back with that penalty. So we had to go on a long, good drive. And on that drive, I think we got stopped on 4th-and-2. But our defense, I think, held them to a 3-and-out. So we got it right back. And we were driving. And that seemed like a hell of a throw. They had some soft zone. And he threaded in there between their two backers. And looked like it went off Debo's hands. And that was huge because we were trying to get back in the game. But also because they got a big return and got 7 points off of it.
Second in a row, a lot of penalty issues. What's your frustration level right now with that one?
Big. I mean, that was huge at the beginning of the game. I mean, you know, we were struggling to get the ball at the beginning of the game and both of those first two drives. I mean, we had 2nd-and-1 and go back to 2nd-and-6 on that tip ball. And then the next one, we started in 1st-and-20. So I thought that killed us in the opening drives. And I'll see on those special team ones, you know, a couple I looked up on the scoreboard and, you know, see on the plane how much we agree with them or not. But we got to be much better with the penalties, obviously.
I know you never want those issues, but when you're missing as many key guys as you are, is it even more imperative to play clean?
Yeah, definitely. I'm really not concerned right now about how many guys we missed today. We don't play good enough, so that's not a factor. But when you are missing some guys, you do have to be better. And when you have those penalties, when we didn't stop the run like we did, and then having those three turnovers in the second half, that's how you get embarrassed.
What was your assessment of how Allen performed and
I thought Allen, from what I saw, I mean, first of all, we all got embarrassed. No one played that great, but Brandon, and I thought he did some good things. I thought he made some big throws. Just the plays I can think of. You know, he had a rough one in the beginning that he threw to them. They dropped. Two plays he just slipped on that field that, hurt us. But I thought Brandon made some big throws and stuff and gave us a chance.
When did he get his finger?
It was a few weeks ago, whenever we reported it.
Why start him in spite of that injury?
Because he's not hurt.
Okay.
You said why start him? Why start him because of the injury?
In spite of the injury.
He's fine. He hurt his fingers like 3 weeks ago. No, I mean, we haven't done anything since. He's been rehabbing the whole time here, and I'm sure we'll take him to some stuff early Monday or Tuesday and got a better idea then.
How close was Trent today? What was that decision?
It was close. I mean, it took it all the way up to now, all the way up till today. He was hurting yesterday a little worse than last week at this time, which made us nervous, and didn't wake up good today.
What is your vision?
We didn't get our run game going much. I think we only had about 14 carries, and I didn't see much from anybody today.
Do you feel like you guys have lost some of that physicality that you guys tried to have as a building block for this team?
In what aspect?
It just seems to be the running game both ways. You know, the offensive running game and then the run defense just seems to be... It almost feels like you guys are kind of getting pushed around up front.
It's a good old line. They got a good scheme. You know, they ran the ball well. I mean, when you say we're missing physicality, I mean, we are missing some guys, you know, especially some of the more physical guys in terms of, like, Greenlaw and stuff and some of our D linemen and, you know, losing our biggest run stopper and Jordan Elliott during that game. So when you're missing some guys out there, which makes a difference, but I thought they did better in the runs versus in the second half. Offensively, I don't think we're lacking physicality. We just didn't get a run game going today, and a lot of that has to do with not attempting to do much of it, too. Good, I guess.
All right, there's a relatively despondent Kyle Shanahan after the 49ers lost to the Packers in Green Bay 38-10. The one moment that stands out was when, of course, Kyle Shanahan was asked about Brandon Allen's broken left middle finger and asked why he still started him despite the broken finger. And Shanahan, he essentially, after making sure he was re-asked the question, making sure he understood the question fully, essentially said, well, he's not really hurt. It's not really bothering him anymore. But he got a little bit snippy, as he has at times this year, and you can understand it. I mean, I'm sure he's incredibly frustrated, but that was an interesting moment in this post-game presser.
I'm not there every day. I'm not totally sure, but just based on context clues and watching all these press conferences, I think the source of the question... might have generated a little frustration, if I can say that.
Yes.
Brandon Allen's a backup quarterback. If that finger was part of the reason that he struggled today, I think that they wouldn't have started him. But I didn't watch Brandon Allen today at any point go, well, it's obviously the finger. Like, the ball that he fumbled, it wasn't like he dropped a snap. If he had been dropping snaps and handoffs all day, okay, that's one thing. But, like, it's on his non-throwing hand.
Yeah.
I don't think it had an impact at all. I couldn't care less about Brandon Allen's finger injury.
Was that sloppy field out there, though?
That's why, he kept slipping. That's what it was.
The other thing that Kyle Shanahan brought up, and it was at the very, very beginning... the 49ers managed to find a way to commit the same penalty on consecutive plays. And I don't know how we didn't even bring this up until now.
Great point.
It was at the very beginning of the second quarter. When was this? Let me find out exactly when it was. The Packers were about to go down, and they were in the red zone. They were driving, and the 49ers trying to sub a player off. The Packers quick snapped the 49ers, and you heard Kyle Shanahan say he didn't think that snap should have been allowed to happen that quick because the Packers subbed. They need to allow the Niners to sub. Whatever. Did not happen. That one is understandable. Packers got you. Maybe the refs missed one. Okay. But the very next snap, literally the very next snap, 12 men on the field again, and this wasn't like they caught you again. And you were running a guy off the field. You guys had 12 men lined up, ready to play a snap of football. The exact same play immediately before it, also 12 men on the field. The fact that that happened on consecutive plays, that just shows, I think, what you led the show off with, Kyle, the general unpreparedness of this football team, the general lack of any sort of, I don't know, realistic desire to come out and try to win this game, the lack of focus, that penalty to happen on consecutive plays is absolutely unforgivable.
I hate the phrase inexcusable because so many things that are excusable, people call excusable. Like 5 for 37 from 3, inexcusable. Yeah, sometimes you're going to miss shots. Like, it's fine. But that is inexcusable. Play stopped. Like you said, it wasn't the first one. They caught him off guard.
Yeah, that's whatever.
Devondre Campbell a little slow getting off. Whoever it was that came on, Kalia Davis or whoever it was.
Kalia Davis, yeah.
A little slow to get on. All right, you know what? Stuff happens. But play stops. You know, dang, we had 12 dudes on the field. Let's make sure to not do that again. And then you just have 12 dudes on the field again? That can't be a thing that happens.
Yeah.
Not because it lost in the game. But it's that attention to detail. It's that, hey, we're super locked in. Here's exactly what we're doing. We have this very specific plan. That's insane. 12 men on the field after what amounts to a timeout is crazy.
When you're forgetting some context, on the first 12th man call, it was offsetting penalties. It didn't even count. And they had to come together and talk about it and go, okay, what were the penalties here? Who was involved? And they said, you know what? After like a 30-second delay, both teams are at fault, offset, second and seven all over again. And San Francisco still, after that, got called for the same penalty, which led to a 17-0 score by Green Bay. So whether it was held to a field goal or whatnot, whether it changed the game at all, it obviously didn't. But it's like small stuff like that that has been filtered in throughout the entirety of the year. It's this unbuttoned-up nature by a Kyle Shanahan team that has haunted them in previous years, in playoffs, and today. Now, today didn't matter that much, but it's the fact that in those moments, it's highlighted so much where you're like, yep, this is who they've been for a long time. Yep. It's cost them over and over again in pivotal moments. You can go back to last year in the Super Bowl. Yep, not knowing the overtime rules. It's unbuttoned up. It's unprepared. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, your defensive coordinator, whoever's in charge of defensive substitutions, failed. Not once, but twice.
In a row.
On back-to-back plays where you had a chunk of time to figure things out and make the correct substitutions you wanted to. And it's like, at that moment, and there was a play later in the game where Shanahan called timeout on for the defense. That never happens.
Mm-hmm.
That happened in the Super Bowl, and then he fired Steve Wilkes later. And I'm trying to connect things that don't actually connect, but him calling a timeout for the defense, that never happens, ever.
That's pretty bad.
And it happened today. And I was like, oh, okay, it's third down. Shanahan's calling timeouts. He obviously doesn't like the call somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Something's up. Something's got to be up.
Yeah, mentions to microcosm, I think, of the season as a whole. All right, we got a few minutes left here with you on overtime. Before we get to game balls, and we're going to try our best to give out game balls, it's going to be tough. We will try our best. I did want to give you guys a little bit of some good news.
Oh, I love good news.
We want a little bit of a fun factoid, historical factoid for the 49ers. George Kittle, 6 catches today, now up to 509 in his Niners career. He passed both Dwight Clark and Roger Craig for third most catches in Niners franchise history.
That's big time.
Behind Jerry Rice and behind T.O. George Kittle is number 3.
Might catch Jerry Rice someday.
No, probably not.
30 years.
He is, let's see, you're going to do the math. He is 83 away from tying T.O.
Oh, we might get there.
We might do that. Wow.
But he is not even halfway to Jerry Rice.
That's okay.
That's how good, Jerry Rice was. Yeah, congrats to George Kittle. Passed a couple of greats, Dwight Clark and Roger Craig. Now third on the Niners' all-time receptions list in their franchise history. Okay, let's get to it. Game balls, as we always do. If you guys want to get super creative, hell, if you want to pick Packers, be my guest. Whatever the hell you want. We'll start on offense. Game balls on offense. Kyle, I will give you first dibs. Go ahead. Who do you got? Game ball on offense.
Game ball on offense. You know what? I did this as an honorable mention last week. I'm going to just do it this week. Jordan Mason. Shout out to Jordan Mason.
Yeah.
Getting in their first carry, 16 yards. Outrushed the 49ers by himself on that play. That was their longest rush of the day.
Yeah.
I think their only explosive run of the day as well belonged to Jordan Mason.
Yeah.
Salute to Jordan Mason, who I'm just going to keep talking about until he starts playing more.
Salute Jordan Mason. All right, Sterling, offensive game ball. Who do you got?
Well, don't forget, Jordan Mason had the longest kick return of the day, 29 yards.
Wow.
Oh, that's a great point. Yeah, hey, and for special teams. Nice job, Jordan.
Did not fumble that one out of bounds.
That's right. That's right. There really is only one other option for San Francisco on offense, so I'll just take it. George Kittle, 6 catches, 82 yards, 1 touchdown, the only touchdown of the day for San Francisco. The amazing, I guess you could say, opposite hip catch from Brandon Allen today. Kittle just continues to prove, doesn't matter who the quarterback is, he is going to be the all-pro that he's always been. So George Kittle gets my game ball.
Yeah, that's a good pick. That's the easy pick. I was not expecting it to last to me, so good job, Sterling. I'll go next, offensive game ball. I'll go kind of off the board here just because it was the 49ers' first down of the game. Kyle Juszczyk with the 14-yard catch.
Hey, we love to see it.
Now, that was his only offensive touch of the game, so it is what it is. But the Niners were very, very rough through the first few drives. Kyle Juszczyk, 14-yard catch. I believe it was on third down to convert, and they got the chains moving a little bit there. I'll give Kyle Juszczyk a shout. shout out for what he did on that specific play. He gets a game ball for me, but that's just how rough it was offensively for the 49ers. And then we'll transition to defense. We'll go in reverse order. So I'll go first this time. Relatively easy one when you just look at the statistics in this one. I'll take the guy that had two sacks, Leonard Floyd, the only two sacks for the 49ers in this game. And I believe at least one of them came in a relatively big moment when this game was not over. The second one was kind of teetering on game over territory. But Leonard Floyd showed up for a couple of plays in this game, those two sacks, four total tackles in the football game. You needed him to be good without Nick Bosa. He wasn't great, but he was the Niners' best pass rusher by a wide margin. Leonard Floyd, game ball for two sacks today. Sterling, you're up next. Who do you give a game ball to for defense?
I think I will give it to Fred Warner. And okay, only because of one play, and the play that means nothing in retrospect, meaningless. But San Francisco had just turned the ball over on downs on fourth down, the fourth and two incompletion to Christian McCaffrey, and the Green Bay's near midfield. And this is a chance. It is 17-7. They can go up and make it 24-7. And the defense answers, gets a big three and out on Leonard Floyd's sack. Who is running up the seam with Christian Watson? Fred Warner.
Man.
Side by side with the wide receiver that dropped the wide open touchdown early in the game. What are you throwing it to him? I have no idea. But it's stuff like that that doesn't go in box scores that you don't see on the broadcast. That you look at it and you go, that is an all-pro play from an all-pro player. And I think Fred Warner deserves some flowers for that play, so he'll get my defensive game ball.
What do you think, Kyle?
I love that pick. I'm going Renardo Green.
Okay.
I know he got flagged for the PI. I thought that was kind of a ticky-tack PI penalty.
Yeah.
In the end zone. But he was credited with one pass breakup. He had the near interception off the bad throw behind, I think it was Dobbs. He got tipped up in the air. He nearly had that. Renardo Green just continues showing up. Like every time the Niners defense is on the field, there's two, three plays a game where, man, you know what, Renardo Green, nice play there. So salute to the rookie. He continues to play really well.
Was it, we were talking about the 12 men on the field penalty, the first one where the Packers caught the Niners trying to sub late. That was a free play. Jordan Love just threw it into the end zone. That was Malik Mustafa who had the interception, but it never lasted. Mm-hmm. That was Mustafa, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes. He had an okay game.
Yeah, the big hit in the backfield. That was cool.
He had an incredible, massive, incredible hit in the backfield. That was a tackle for loss. One of the Niners' five tackles for loss in the game.
Everybody just do that. Why can't everyone just do that?
Yeah, come on. I mean, he's good for like one of those a game.
Yeah.
Malik Mustafa is. He's a lot of fun to watch. But
Can I give a like
honorable mention or
no, what? The other way.
Oh.
Yeah, just like one of those.
Mention.
Yeah, dishonorable. No, that's not what I'm looking for.
I hope it's who I think it is.
No, I don't know how I feel, and obviously we gotta bounce here soon. But today was the first day that I've really been like, I don't know how I feel about Jair Brown as a starting safety moving forward.
Mm.
I very rarely notice him where I'm like, dang, heck of a play by Jair Brown there. Just he's missing a tackle here. He's dropping an interception there.
As Sterling pointed to, he was the reason why, right? It was him that allowed Wilson to get outside, didn't get out, take outside leverage.
Yes, just, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about him.
I'll say this.
He'll be back next year because he has to be.
I'll say this about Jair Brown. You're right. There haven't been a ton of moments where you just watch a play and you're like, Jair Brown made that play.
Yeah, and he was my dark horse Pro Bowl guy this year. I was all about the Jair Brown experience.
It's kind of either been he's been invisible or he's like, ooh, he made a mistake there.
Yeah.
It's kind of what the Jair Brown experience has been this year.
I will say this, though. Jair Brown's struggles may open the door for a Talanoa Hufanga return next year in free agency. Never know.
It might be a relatively cheap return.
Yeah, given the injury stuff.
And he hasn't, I mean, even last year before he got hurt, he wasn't playing great.
If he came back this year, he has to play over Tig, right? Jair Brown, sorry.
Yes.
You move Mustafa to free
safety, I guess. I don't know why I'm calling
him
by his nickname.
Yeah. I think
so. You guys are tight, don't worry. You guys are buddies.
I think you just play your two best players there. Jair Brown doesn't do enough for
me
to be like,
might not be one of your two best safeties. Mustafa Definitely is.
Yeah, he's been a good player.
He's
your best safety.
Yes, yeah. No doubt. All right, that's all we got time for today. The Niners lose in Green Bay today, 38-10. The Niners up next. They are on the way to Buffalo Sunday Night Football a week from now. A week from now, that game will be going on, and then we got you covered for post-game after that. I hope every one of you out there has a good Thanksgiving. We'll be back after Thanksgiving as we continue to recover from our food comas, excuse me, on Sunday. Niners and Bills, 5:20 on Sunday. Of course, we got pregame coverage. Then we got postgame coverage, as always, here on 95.7 The Game. And we're live and local every day this week here on 95.7 The Game, except for Thanksgiving. So keep it locked all day, all week. I'm sure there will be a ton of Niners reactions tomorrow and Tuesday and even Wednesday and Friday as well. Okay, for Kyle Madsen, for Sterling Bennett, for Cam Williams behind the glass doing a great job. My name is Mark Randy signing off. Thanks so much for tuning in to Overtime here on 95.7 The Game. The Niners fall 38-10, and they're now 5-6 on the year. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk next time on 95.7 The Game.